Welcome to the after party. It's time to change. You're just getting started. You can teach an old dog new ways, and not just on Saturday.
Hey, it's Anna David with After Party Pod, your podcast all about addiction and recovery and mental illness and whatever else. I'm calling it your podcast because it is yours. You downloaded it, and I'm so grateful for that. If you're new here, welcome. Maybe it's like a New Year's thing. You decided to start listening to podcasts about addiction recovery. It's a good time for that. I mean, any time is a good time for that. Now, welcome to 2016. Are you still writing accidentally 2015 on your checks? Slash, are you still writing checks? I think I might be the only person who still does that. Anyway, new year, pouring rain here in LA. That's a good thing for the drought. Obviously, you're not all in LA. Obviously, I'm not completely awake yet. I was just thinking as I was about to press record that I was like, I don't really have anything to say. And so I went and opened my calendar kind of to go like, what have you been doing lately? Maybe you'll say something about that. Nothing came up. I just recorded the intro to the previous podcast the other day. So not much has happened, except it's been New Year's. But this is old hat by the time you hear this. I've been doing a bunch of podcast guest appearances. Dr. Drew has a new podcast called This Life with Bob Forrest. And I've been on that twice. Once with Fred Stoller and once with Tom Sizemore. I wrote Tom Sizemore's, that was my text. I apologize for not turning my phone off. I wrote, by some miracle, I made it out of there alive with Tom Sizemore, which is the story of his life. Great book. Go get it. But if you're going to go get it, by the way, go get my novel, Party Girl, because that's the one that actually benefits me if you buy it. Not that much. Whoever told you you make a lot of money as an author lied to you. Speaking of which, that's a good transition into my guest today, because he's a writer, and we talked about this on this very episode. This is a kind of juicy one. His name is Jack Grisham, which is a fantastic name. He's not related to John Grisham, but he is also a prolific writer. Interestingly, with such a fantastic name, he has all these aliases, and he talks about how he wants to change his name and go undercover. Oh my God, he's known as Jack Lloyd Jones, Jack Gregers, Alex Morgan. Who is this man, you want to know? Well, he is a former punk rocker. He was in the band TSOL, which stands for True Sounds of Liberty. Remember them? He was also in a band called The Joy Killer. He had a band called Jack Grisham and the Manic Low. Jack Grisham's Lost Soul. Oh, it goes on. He's written a slew of books. American Demon is the memoir of being a demon. Yeah, he goes there. And then he, you know, he got sober, obviously. There was a turnaround. I don't know if that's obvious. Whatever. He's on this podcast. It could have drawn that conclusion. And he wrote a book called A Principle of Recovery, An Unconventional Journey Through the 12 Steps, which came out in August of 2015. So hot off the press, really. And I read both of those books. He's written some other books. And, you know, he basically was saying that he just wrote down everything that he was sharing with people in long-term sobriety. So we had a good conversation. He's now a hypnotherapist. He's got a slew of kids, an army of children. We talked about this. He'd be a good cult leader, but he's not one. Instead, he's a hypnotherapist. But is that not a great beginning to cult leading? Anyway, that is all I'm going to say about this. Good episode. I already told you that. Here's Jack Grisham.
I first started taking drugs by chewing blocks of hash.
Oh my God. I think my copy has like blood stains on it from shooting up while reading it.
Party animal. I hate to say that because that makes me sound Paris Hilton. I was on the, as right. I call it, the Autobahn to nowhere.
I'm very lucky because would you have wanted to have a celebrity junkie for a dad?
But being the online, being the authority on sober dating, shouldn't that get you some work? What about giving talks? You go out and give talks.
You know we're recording.
That's okay.
Yeah. I am so far from an expert on sober dating.
Right.
That entire thing was an accident. Basically, I wrote a story. A writer contacted me.
Right.
When I was a year sober and said, hey, I'm the sex columnist for New York Magazine. Do you want to do a story with me where we trade places? I'll come to LA for a week. You come to New York for a week and we write about our experiences and dating. I said, yeah, sure, of course. She sold it to Playboy. That story ended up becoming a huge deal. They shot us. We're not naked, but you know.
Right, right, right.
And it was optioned, made into a reality show pilot. And suddenly people go, oh my God, you write for Playboy. You're a sex expert, right? And I was like, oh, so you're paying me? Yeah. Uh-huh. And so it was an accident. All of that stuff. I'm no expert at all.
Yes. But it's nice, and it's a nice title. And somebody gave me a title. I took a title after reading yours. Mine's God damn it. I wrote it down because I can't ever remember.
You gotta remember. Rule number one for having a title.
I know. You're probably right. I should remember my title.
Well, maybe now, since I've, you know, humiliated you for not knowing it.
No, it's okay. I don't mind.
That you will remember. Oh, you're right. I do have a hair on my mic.
Yeah, you have a hair on your mic. I'm the world's leading authority on spiritual illness treatment, reformism, and the founder of the Coffee Club.
I'm going to give you some, as somebody with a title, I'm going to give you some feedback.
Yeah, please. I didn't write it.
Way too long.
Yeah, but I like the length of it. I don't mind because I don't give a shit. I changed my name. I was getting ready last week to change my name and move because I realized that if I change my name and move, then everything disappears.
You know, that's not true. I did notice, I think it's your Wikipedia, that there were maybe seven names.
I change it all the time. Doesn't matter.
But you're born Jack Grisham.
Not really.
Because that's an amazing name. It's a true... Yes. Jack is my favorite man's name. It's
but it sounds like a game show host.
Well, no, it sounds like, oh, John Grisham's son. Wow, he got up.
Which is rough. So try writing books. So you want to talk about writing books?
Yeah.
Try writing books with that. And they go, oh, the Grisham, the writer. Yeah not that one. Yeah,
not but that. I feel like that could help.
No. Like the guy, although when that did help is when the recall election in California, there was a guy whose name was close to Schwarzenegger. It was Noggin, or whatever the hell it was. I can't remember his name, and I apologize to you, sir, if you happen to be listening to this. But the guy got like 4,000 or 5,000 votes just because people don't really understand.
You know that some people have bought your books.
Yeah, I will tell you a story. Yes. I gave a reading in Santa Barbara. So I go to give this reading, and there's all these like older ladies there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like tripping because I'm thinking, oh, I can't really read this shit.
Right.
So I go, okay.
The American
this is,
Demon?
Yeah. I go, hey, this is a little rough, man. So I start dialing into it. And then one of the ladies said something about, you know, why do you call this rough? I love the client. And so they thought I was that guy. Yeah. So
look, as an author who has struggled, I say take what you get. Take whatever you can get. If they think they're going to see John Grisham,
give
them John Grisham.
Just be that. Yeah. But I don't mind. It's like the only reason I want to work, like I thought about you when I read, okay, you've done this. I thought, why don't you quit? Why don't you just go stop? Because all I want to do is stop.
Oh,
I just want to do something good enough where I can go into full reclusion. I just want to disappear.
Really?
That's my plan. My plan is, and I tell people all the time, look, the minute I get enough to leave, I'm leaving. And you're not going to see me again.
I don't even know what that means.
It means to leave. It means to change your name, disappear, and just fucking completely cut off everyone. Look, and I'm going to die sometime. So look, I'm going to die on my terms with you.
Right.
With you. I'm going to die with you on my terms. I'm going to tell you when I'm dead and I'm going to be dead. And you can deal with it now or deal with it later, but you're going to deal with it now because I'm going to disappear. That's my plan.
But you have a great life.
Yeah, but I'm ready to have another one. I can have another one too.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, I can do whatever I want. Look, if we're the creators of this, right?
Yes.
I can do what I want.
Yes, but it appears, that here you've been able to live this crazy life. I did read American Demon 2, by the way. I did double the reading.
Yeah,
it's a rough book.
Yeah, it's fun, though.
It's fun. You know, it's very like Chuck Palahniuk. Is that how you say it? Except that it's
real. Yeah, which is sad. And you know what? I didn't want to do that. Like, I wanted them to say, look, don't, because that book, they killed that book. That's the problem.
When you say they, the
publishers, they killed it. Because basically, what they did is they released it as autobiographical musician. It's like T.S. Eliot, who cares? you know, the 3,000 people that give a shit about that, who cares, right? So it's like right. They should have released it as fiction. It should have been a reverse Blair Witch.
Right.
Like
right,
they
right.
should have said, this is a lie, this is a lie, this is a lie. And then people come out and go, oh, that's not a lie. That guy's an asshole. And I was there when he did that. And this is true. And he's calling it a lie.
But you could have written it as a novel.
Well,
you didn't.
I did write it as a novel.
No, I mean, it's you and you talk about the
right.
real, there's, you know, your actual bandmates' names. And
right.
It's
but
coming.
So what's look at whatever. Look what, you know, look at Catcher in the Rye could have been written. It's the same thing. I mean, it's like whatever it is. It's like, look, I'm just writing as this guy. Who knows this guy's even real?
Except that yours had actual facts that are verified.
No, some facts. Whatever. It's like, I had guys that actually got mad at me.
Yeah.
Because like some of my friends, like I've had people work with me and they say, you have the most whacked out friends that I've ever met. Like really, I mean dangerously crazy. Not like just, I know everyone goes, oh, I've got crazy friends. No, there's this guy. But no, these are like friends. Whacked out dangerously. I'm going to remove that person because I don't like what they said about you. It's right. that kind of craziness. So I had some of these guys saying, why didn't you use my real name?
Why, you know, why didn't you?
Why didn't I use their real name? Right, they were right. angry about it. It's like, I was in on that.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, shit.
I had a similar thing. My memoir, I had a few friends that were in it. And one friend was like, very, for lack of a better word, slutty. And I was like, I'm changing your name. She goes, don't.
Yeah, leave it.
Use my name. I don't that's care. Nice.
I mean, do you? And that's not the stuff I even cared about anyway. Like when I started getting sober, like all that crap, like people are running around, they're scared because they were, you know, they had a man-on-man sexual experience or they're with this and this. Like with me, I don't care.
Right.
Because I got myself to the point where no matter what I do, I'm okay. Like now how I am now. If I go out and somebody sees me helping people, they go, God, that Jack, he's such a great guy. He's always been a great guy. I go out and I'm wearing a dress, blowing 15 sailors in the park, and somebody drives by, they go, what a maniac. He's right. so crazy. And it's either way. It's good right. either way. It doesn't matter.
But are you really, I mean, when I was reading the book, you know, and this sort of attitude about, you know, trauma that you experience and trauma you inflicted.
Right. And that's the way that works.
And that is the way it works.
You two know, ways.
To hurt
either
people,
you suck
hurt
it in.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. You either suck it in, internalize it, or you dish it out.
But it's done in such a way that it's sort of like it doesn't penetrate your soul or whatever. How much of that, do you know what I'm talking about?
Right.
What you don't get into is the actual pain that you're in, because it's all sort of,
it's called attachment disorder. It's why I can sit here and tell you I'll just change my name and disappear.
And it's true, it's not penetrating. You're not
penetrating,
but you have felt pain.
Yeah, but whether it's for that, it's like, I mean, we don't, you know, it's like I can't feel that my kids love me. I can't right. feel that my wife loves me.
Right.
There's
right.
nothing. It's nothing. Like intellectually, I understand, hey, these people love me.
Right.
They say they do.
Right. They
I don't really
like
believe
do.
It.
Right.
But if they don't act like they do, like the minute yeah, I'm yeah. in an argument with somebody, I just disappear.
Yeah.
Like that's it. I'm yeah. done. Any like any trouble, any argument, whatever, I just walk away.
So, meaning like a sort of cut and run, you don't know them anymore kind
right.
of a thing.
Just,
yeah, you've been married for a long time, right?
I've been married like 3 times.
But again, I go by Facebook.
A couple years, yeah.
I go
yeah,
by
the
Facebook,
last marriage, I've been married
really
3 years.
Happy.
Yeah, we're great. She's great. My wife is great. You'd love her. She's great.
But it's so...
So solid.
You can't really have a... you know, cut and run. You can't be like a family. You can, but you don't appear to be like a family guy. 3 kids.
Five kids. Yeah.
3 with this current wife.
3 and two earlier.
Previous, yeah.
3. So I have a 28-year-old, a 16-year-old, 2 identical twin 10-year-olds, and a 7-year-old.
Wow.
And I'm loving. And yeah. I hug them and I love them and I tell them I love them and I'm affectionate with my wife and I hold her and I tell her how beautiful she is and I'm sweet and I do, you know, whatever. Let's not get too far. You know, I'm out of control too. Sometimes shooting people with BB guns and shit or whatever.
Still
is
in adulthood.
Going
like
around.
Today.
Well, whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is there just doesn't, there's no, like they know it too.
Right.
Like
right,
they're aware, they are well aware of what they're dealing with.
Do you feel that you sometimes have to sort of act like a human being or whatever you want to call it? That it's sort of a, you know what I'm saying? If you don't feel that emotional, whatever it is,
I know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know what I'm supposed to do.
Right, right. Yeah. So it's called attachment disorder?
Well, whatever.
Self-diagnosed.
No, actually.
Many professionals diagnosed?
Many professionals. Yeah. I actually had a lady one time say, I can't help you. And then she told somebody, she said, he frightens me.
Right, right.
But I think she was attracted to me. I don't think it had anything to do with that. And it's like, it's like when someone cuts a hand off or whatever, and it's like they attach a different hand or whatever. So they know there's a hand there. And they can learn how to pressure and whatever, but it's not like there's ever any feeling in it again. Like, it's like, so it's whatever.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know. I mean, it's interesting. I relate to parts of it.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's just sort of the pain was so great you shut down at an
could
early age?
Yeah, could have been. Know. And then it's still like every once in a while, like I haven't had it in a while, but then I'll have like blackouts. Like not blackouts, but drifting out. Like I'll get in an uncomfortable spot and then I just am not in the body. Like I'm watching myself do stuff.
Right, right.
You know, because it's like separation. And then I just watch, like if I get in a situation where someone's yelling at me or, you know, or trying to get physical with me or something like that, sometimes I'll just separate.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll be doing something while I'm watching myself do it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whatever. Is this, what are we having, a counseling session?
Do you feel better?
Nothing ever feels better about this. Yeah, feel free to diagnose, but really?
Nothing ever feels better?
No, it's not like I walk out of here and go, oh, fuck. I'm sorry, I'm dropping F-bombs. Is that
please
all right?
Do.
Okay.
But you have experiences where you feel better than others, right? You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like, happiness is a part of your life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Would you say you're happy?
I don't know about that. I don't know if I'd say that right now.
Right.
Right at this moment, I don't know if I'd say that right now.
Yeah.
But I have felt happy.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like I can feel.
Yeah.
I can feel for them.
Right.
I can love them.
Do you believe in like medications and all that stuff?
Not for me. I'm not really a fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've had some problems, you know, like whatever. It's like I'm not really a fan of it because... like it frightens me a little bit and I'm
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I'm all right like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind.
Yeah.
Because it's just the mind anyway.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, if we really look at what's underneath, if you believe in soul or spirit or any of that, this is all just mental illness.
I know.
So I'm just mentally ill. Or right. If that, I'm actually quite fine. But whatever it is, this is just nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. I mean, all of it is just sort of the mind doing gymnastics and then feelings, having feelings as a result of what the mind is telling you.
Right.
But sure, when you say that, I do, my theory is that men are far more able to handle that than women. That we get, I really shouldn't speak for my entire gender. I know what I get. I get very... attached to that thought. I can go, that thought's not real. Who cares? I'm on the emotional, you know,
right.
roller coaster with it.
Yeah, but see, I attract like a lot of lesbians.
Uh-huh.
Like I went through a string of just lesbians loving me.
Right, like you would actually date them or have sex with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, or whatever. Yeah. But it was like to the point where it was like, yeah, they were calling me a lesbro. That's why it was actually kind of funny. But
that could be your title. It's shorter than the other one.
Yeah, authority on being a lesbro. But,
yeah.
But it was like they said, yeah, you're like a man with like a woman's heart. So it's like, what?
Really, though?
Yeah.
That's not the sense I'm getting.
I know, which is trippy, but that's what they got. It was like you're like a man,
uh-huh.
but you're a man with a woman's heart. It's like women, why women like gay guys.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you're a man with a woman's heart. You know, it's like the same kind of thing, but these were like women.
Yeah.
That, not straight women.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, which was really trippy. It was like I was, you know, almost their safe male friend sometimes or whatever it was.
Interesting.
And it was a string. It wasn't like, this wasn't like,
thing, yeah.
Yeah, this wasn't like, this was like.
How many is a string?
I don't know,
six?
Whatever. What do you want? You know, a string. I don't know. You're the authority on dating. You tell me what a string
can
is.
You please.
What's a string?
Hear me when I say I am no authority.
Yeah.
I was getting, it was a fun gig. You know, if you go on TV and they're telling you, you know, and you're
right.
good with bullshitting. You know.
See, I'm not good with bullshitting because I don't want to bullshit people.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. Here's,
no, it's fucked. No, because I could learn how to cold read. Do you know how much money I could make? I'm cult material. Like, I am seriously cult material.
Cult leader material.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh,
it's like, I got it.
Yeah.
It's like I know how to talk smooth, all that stuff, yeah. You know, but I just don't. First of all, I give people more credit than they should get.
Uh-huh.
Meaning, like, I know that they know that this is bullshit, so I'm not going to give it to them.
Right.
And then the other side of it is I can't take from people like that. I mean, I'm a hypnotherapist. I'm a, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
An NLP practitioner, all that bullshit.
Even better.
I know, but I don't want to do it.
Right, right.
You know, which is really screwed up because if
no,
I could, it's not. Because if
not
I could,
up.
Well, that was funny. I was giving a talk at a library one time, and it, you know, it's packed. It's a Long Beach Public Library. It's packed. Everyone's down there. You know, it's crazy. And we were talking about words and putting word combinations together. And that I do believe with the right word combinations that you can break someone. Like when you really understand the emotional definition of words, you know, and if
yeah.
you find the right words, that you could tear someone apart.
Yeah.
With a pattern of words,
yes,
you know, and really follow through with that. And so I was given, you know, I was given this talk on how to do that or whatever. And this lady goes, raise your hand. This old woman raised her hand, and she goes, but couldn't you use that to help them too? And I look at her and said, I've never thought of that because I didn't. It's all about, you know, whatever.
But you, that's not true because the work that you do now is
now.
Doing that.
Now.
You know, I'm just making sure this is working.
Yeah,
it
probably isn't.
Don't say that. So
yes, now.
Right.
Now. Because I had people say, hey, come on, man. You're always talking this shit. Can
yeah.
you just lay it down? Just write it down for us.
Yeah.
I mean, the book I just wrote, this Principle of Recovery, it was for my, this is for my friends.
Right.
It's
right.
like people that struggle with the program, struggle with God, struggle with getting sober, struggle with all the bullshit that's wrapped around 12-step groups
mm-hmm.
or whatever the hell that is.
Mm-hmm.
So I just said, hey, I'll just give you my opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like opinion based on almost 27 years of experience.
How long are you sober now?
Almost 27 years. Next week, I'll be 27.
Congratulations.
Thank
how,
you very much.
How long
so
were you?
So 26 years now.
And so, yeah, because we can't jinx that.
Right.
That always bothers me a little bit.
What?
You know, God willing, tomorrow it'll be 16 years. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, look, that's cool. It's
right.
respectful. I think you can say with some confidence you'll be sober 27 years.
Yeah, if I don't die. Or something, but whatever. And God's always willing, if there is a God.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine him not being willing. I couldn't imagine, if there is a God, him waking up saying, oh, fuck that.
Yeah.
Fuck Jack today. I'm
yeah.
done with that bitch. He's just been fucking whining and questioning me for years. I'm done.
Yeah.
Have at it.
Where are you with God now?
What do you mean?
Do you believe in a God?
No.
Not
I'm not really. I'm like, I don't disbelieve, I don't believe.
Uh-huh.
It's not, you know, I mean, we're all, you know, there is no proof. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
Great coincidences. I get bitch in parking spots. You know,
right.
whatever it is. I do believe you attract what you're willing to give. If you're a giver, people will take. You know what I mean? If you're a taker, givers will show. You know?
That's the exact opposite, I think, of how it's supposed to work.
What are you talking about? If you're giving, people will take.
Well, I think that, you know, sort of the idea is that if you want to feel better, service, you know, giving is going to make you feel better, right?
Yeah,
you know,
which is selfish anyway. It's all
completely.
Selfish. Nobody makes one move not out of self. None, not one move. Not you, not me, not anyone else,
yeah.
not even Christ. You know, whatever.
Well, with love, I mean, it's hard to say.
It was selfish. What did he die for?
We're not talking about Christ. We're talking about me.
Yeah,
close,
but whatever. Okay,
but
even, but, yeah, but even you, sister of Christ, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, I did hear this guy
my
that was
title.
Bitching. I was in a group and I loved it because this guy was just going off like craziness, right? And this dude from New York was visiting in the rooms, right? And he had enough. And he finally goes, will you shut the fuck up? And the guy looks at me and goes, hey, buddy. I'm not Christ. I'm not trying to say I'm Christ, but I'm the fucking cousin of Christ. And where are you from, Manhattan? Don't bother calling home. It's gone. It's gone. He just basically acted like he just made the city disappear.
Love
it was bitching.
Yeah.
I was clapping.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. Yeah. All
yeah.
right, where were we?
Yes. I have no idea.
Selfish giving.
Sister of Christ. Yeah.
Selfish giving. It's
yeah.
all selfish giving.
Yeah. I mean, and 100%, you know, this sort of idea of sponsorship and all of that. I am highly aware when I am working with a sponsee that I am going to feel better than I did before I helped
really?
Them. It's how I think I get
sometimes,
myself to do it. Sometimes it doesn't always
yeah,
work.
Yeah. Sometimes
no,
I just go, oh my God, the wave of fucking insanity is so strong that no one will ever get away from it.
I would say the calls from them, I don't feel that way. But actually sitting down, you know, I have a new one and we're sitting and reading the book. I'm pretty guaranteed that at the end of that hour or whatever, I'm going to feel better. And that's a lot of why I'm doing
maybe
it.
Maybe I'm too empathetic. Maybe that's it. Yeah.
Maybe you are. Well, back to our original conversation about disappearing and you going like, why does she do this stuff?
Well, I wondered why do you work? What are you doing? That's what I'd be in a yurt somewhere in the middle of the redwoods.
It's ironic considering you've had all of these.
I'm not
careers.
Successful, but they're not successful. It's like what do they call that? It's infamous, not fucking. You know, it's like.
Well, I really wonder how you're defining that word since you were in a successful band.
Well, yeah, like my friend Hunt Sales used to say, success is playing on a Saturday night. But that doesn't.
That was a real band that people loved.
But it doesn't transfer to money.
Well, that's the. The thing about writing as a career is people think like, oh, you must be so successful because you. And it's back to I think we were talking before we started recording. I felt more successful in the book writing when I had one book rather than six, because six sort of feels like a failure. It's like I'm six and I'm not John Grisham and what? Why didn't I stop at one?
Right.
One was good. Two, you should stop, because two is great. You know, and you got two different genres. You know what I'm saying?
Well, see, I actually have like five, but nobody knows the other one, so it's all right.
Oh, good. So were you neck and neck with the feeling like this?
Yeah, but I don't care. I mean, I just do it because it feels good to me.
See?
Like, it feels good to me. I just want to work.
Yeah,
I tell
too.
People all the time, I say, look, I just want to fucking work.
Okay,
I don't give a fuck. I told someone the other day, I feel heavy. I'm swimming in shit. Get this stuff out of here.
Yeah.
Take the chair. Take the fucking rug. Take the clothes. I've given clothes off my back. It's just like, take this shit. Get this away from me. Give me a pair of pants and a jacket and some shoes and a yurt in the thing. I just want to work.
Okay, but hold on a second. To me, that seems like a great conflict that you're going, why would you work? Why don't you just stop?
Right.
And yet all you want to do is work.
Well, meaning work is in this. Work is in this. This kind of work.
Yeah.
This kind of work. Let me tell you something. One successful for me, whatever successful is, one thing that makes it where I can continue working, you will never see me on social media again.
Yeah.
You will never see my face again.
Yeah.
You will go, fuck, didn't I have, I had some guy up here. It was kind of trippy.
Right.
Whatever. He was up here one day. I don't know. It was like a holiday or something. What the fuck happened to that guy? Does anyone even have that? And then you go back and the show's mysteriously disappeared and there's just nothing. It's like, I feel like there was something, but I can't remember what it was.
I think that you and I are polar opposites in this, because I don't want to ever disappear. And even the idea of like retirement is the most depressing thing on earth.
But you're not talking. I'm not talking retirement.
I get it.
I'm talking about disappearing.
I get it. But I guess what you're talking about is sort of publicly working. Really? Is that kind of it?
Oh, just do stuff under fake names.
Yeah.
I don't know what. Just completely blacklist my own self. I mean, it's like when I go to groups or if ever I go to a meeting, it's like I don't want them to call on me, but I want them to just say hello. You know, like just, oh, hi, Jack. We see you. Okay, let's move on.
Right.
Now just sit there quietly. Because I just want to sit there quietly.
Yeah.
I used to tell people, I felt like this as a kid. I'd tell people, I'd say, just pretend I'm a ghost. Don't talk about me. Or talk about me like I'm not here.
That's so interesting. I think it's as your therapist for the hour.
Yeah,
I love that
please,
you're the actual
you
therapist.
Much.
And but
yeah.
Like,
but I'm not really. Oh no, yes, I am a therapist. Thank you.
I'm a life coach.
Yeah,
I took a course.
So am I.
No, I took a course.
So did I.
Did you really?
Yeah,
where
of course
was your
I
course?
Did. What do you mean? Was I course?
Where was your course?
In Fountain Valley. I don't want to say the place. Can I say the place? I don't want to say the place.
You don't need to.
But it's the same place I did. I'm an NLP master practitioner.
Uh-huh.
I'm a master hypnotherapist. You know,
can
all that
we
bullshit.
Do any hypnosis right now? I know
here's
a lot
funny.
Of people say this.
Do you think we're not?
Oh, come on.
Seriously, do you think we're not?
You think you're like leading this conversation.
No, you think you are. That's what's funny.
The best episodes, there's no leading at all. It's just a conversation. You're not even. But do you truly think you have me under some sort of hypnosis?
Yeah. Are you relaxed? Your face is relaxed. I'm looking at the way you look. Okay, but you are now. I'm watching you right now, and the lines around your face. You have no lines. You don't have lines. I was saying you don't have lines. You're relaxed. Your face is different than when it was when we walked in. You're relaxed. Your body posture is different. The way you're moving your head's different. The way your voice sounds. Mm-hmm. Go back to the start of this tape and listen to the inflections in your voice compared to the inflections now.
And you credit yourself with this?
No.
I'm just curious.
I'm just fucking with you. No, come on, can't we have some fun?
No, I took that very seriously because even when someone's fucking with someone, there's an element of reality,
you bet.
Right?
And there is.
Right.
And what is hypnosis anyway? All it is a state of relaxation. That's it. Have you ever sat with somebody? That's why a lot of times, it's like, this is what it was explained to me, and I'll just redo it. It's like having a bouncer in the mind. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. You're reader, write. Okay. When you read a book and you get into it and you just disappear in the book, right? Okay. That's hypnosis. Mm-hmm. When someone reads and gets involved in the book, they're hypnotized. Mm-hmm. A movie, same thing. Have you ever read a book that you couldn't get into?
Constantly.
Every line was just, and he went, said. It's like, okay, so there's something that's blocking to let you, so you're not really following it, you know, flowing into this book, right? And this is like a critical faculty. It's a bouncer at the mind, standing there saying bullshit, bullshit, bullshit. You watch a movie, the character's never the character. It's like Brad Pitt. He's never real to you. Mm-hmm. So when you let go and the mind lets go, that's part of hypnosis. It's like, so when I talk to someone, what I'm trying to do is get them to relax, get them to smile, get them to open up. They laugh a little bit, and all of a sudden the bouncer lets go, and I can walk inside and I can put suggestion in. Mm-hmm, simple suggestion. While we're talking, a word here, a word there. Sometimes I'll say a word and lift my hand. Lift my hand to get on the next word, and at the end that ends up making a sentence. Now, you're not aware it made a sentence, but it did. Mm-hmm. So following that, and they're not harmful. I'm not telling you to go jump off a building, shoot the painter guy, or whatever the fuck, ram your car into the CVS. I'm giving you nice suggestions. Mm-hmm. So you accept them and you go with it.
No, I've been hypnotized. So I'm down. Good. Okay. I'm down with what you're trying, except that I don't think it really worked with me.
But you just admitted you have been hypnotized. Read books, you've watched movies. Have you ever been going down the freeway and passed your off ramp?
Yes.
Yeah, why?
But couldn't you call that
you were in trance.
Deep in trance. Self-obsession?
Trance, self-obsession,
anxiety,
whatever it is. Whatever it is, something that's taking you away.
Well, okay, so here's a good question then.
Yes, please.
You know, I used to have a much greater ability. All my questions are good questions, let's be honest.
Okay, good.
It's not true. I'm not even sure this one is. Anyway, my point is I used to be far more able to sort of be, as you would say, hypnotized by a book or a movie or a TV show. And I do think ADD, my anxiety, all of that stuff, it gets harder all the time.
Okay. When did you decide that?
I would say within the last 5 years. No, you're not wrong. Decide.
Come on.
To get a free session out of you, and you refuse to take this seriously.
I'm giving you one. I am taking it. Oh, you're trying to give me a free session
or get one? Yeah.
You're trying to get one.
As you said, everything's selfish. Why would I be trying to give
and
one?
And this, okay, can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay, so this, what we're talking about right now.
Yeah.
This is why some people have given me a hard time. They say, are you ever serious?
Right.
You write fucking serious books, and then you go on here making these video podcasts. You dicking off with glasses that don't even have glass in the frames. What are you trying to do?
Right.
It's like...
What are you trying to do?
Enjoy myself.
Yeah.
It's fucking just straight up enjoy myself.
Yeah. Well, and one of the sort of rules I have with this podcast is I don't want anybody who's going to be earnest, really, because I can't. And same with my website. I don't want anyone writing for me that's going to be earnest, because I started this website and people are the recovery website and they're picturing pictures of rainbows and, you know, those hands that are always reaching up on.
Don't start.
Okay. And you know, I'm just so grateful for my sobriety. I can't. Like
I just had one today.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm not going to say. I was somewhere where that was going on. And I actually wrote to my friend. I said, if this was fucking every day, I would hit the streets.
Yeah.
I would go to Home Depot and try to get sober.
Yeah.
Because this is fucked. I can't listen to Clean Up Your Serenity Station one more time.
I know.
It's like, it drives me fucking crazy. It's like, I need it with some dirt on it. I need it with like some. Okay, sorry.
Yes, no, please. You're right. No, and I think that's why I was able to get sober rather easily, I guess, because it was L.A. and because there was dirt on it, as you would say, and because it wasn't the platitudes. I don't know. I have this very bizarrely open mind in meetings where, or about 12-step in general, where I'll let a lot that could bother me go. I'm not like that in any other aspect of my life.
What do you mean, let something bother? So tell me something that would bother you.
The, it should bother me more that the program is sexist. Doesn't bother me in the slightest.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me either.
There are a lot of women out there. You're as a you know, lesbro, you should probably know this.
Yes.
You know what I mean. There are a lot of women that are horribly offended by the sexist language. Never even occurred to me till I met women who were bothered by that.
I got offended because somebody changed the literature this morning at the meeting I was at.
And said goddess?
They said whatever. It was God is God or something. It's like, hey, yeah, okay, they dropped the masculine on it, but hey, so what? Just read it as fuck it is and let's get past it.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It's like, that's what it is. So you decide that that word's going to get changed. Well, maybe there's a word that I don't like.
Yeah.
I'm going to change this one instead.
Yeah, I
hear you. It's like, hey, just fucking leave it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Leave it or don't read it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but okay, sorry, go on.
I forget what we were trying to, we were talking about earnestness and stuff like that and how terrible it is. But, because I've had people pitch to me for this podcast that are highly impressive or whatever. And I just look them up and I go, they will bore me to tears.
What are they pitching?
Pitching guests, publicists
pitching themselves?
No, publicists pitching guests.
To you.
That's so people hot. Have pitched themselves.
See, I do that. You got to come. You should come be my guest.
Okay.
Why don't you come be my guest?
Do I have to drive to Long Beach or whatever?
You know what? Fuck, don't even start with me because I just drove up here. And let me tell you something, what I had to do, besides just driving up here and being flexible with my, you trampled all over my calendar. But however, but besides that, first of all, I was stoked because it's ground floor. So I thought, oh, bitching ground floor.
Why would that matter?
Because I don't like to go in elevators. Oh, I don't like to go in elevators. Jack. So then it's like...
Then you find out late in the game.
Yeah. So not only is it ground floor, then you got me parked in a fucking basement. So now I'm driving down over here below the... Yeah, claustrophobia. I'm going down in a basement. Earthquake, smashed, trapped. Each floor I've got to go down. I found a place right by the entrance and it was a 1 hour, so I got to move the fucking car. So I end up three floors down. Then I'm thinking it says elevator. So luckily I took the escalators up. Then I come here and you want to go get in the elevator. So I get in the elevator with you.
How was I to know?
Well, I'm not going to say. It's no big deal. But I'm just saying. So and then I say, you should come do my thing.
I know.
And you said, oh, drive to Long Beach.
I know. I apologize.
It's bitching. I run this group where it's like we sit and we talk about being sober.
Great. I'm in.
Yeah. Fun as shit. I'm going to call. You're going to come.
Yeah.
And you'll dig it. Like 250, 300 people.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
They sit around and we just sit like this.
Uh-huh.
And we talk like this.
Uh-huh.
About program.
Oh, like you and me and they have to listen?
They listen.
Oh, it's I'm in. Sorry, you didn't pitch it right.
It's kind of like inside the actor's studio. It's kind of like inside the actor's studio.
Not doing it right now.
But with this. Yeah. Oh, it's killer.
That's amazing.
And I've had people come up to me and go, why don't you do this as a show?
Right.
Why don't you do this as a show? And it's like, and then I just drift away. But I have people try to pitch themselves to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and what I found out is what the most interesting thing when you're discussing or interviewing somebody about sobriety is the story's in the defiance, not in the surrender. People think, oh, surrender, surrender, surrender. Bullshit. That's not the story with us. It's the defiance.
Tell
it's
me
how
more
many times did you say, fuck you? How many times did you say, I'm not going to do it, not going to do this, I'm going to do this instead? Tell me how you failed. Because that's the real story.
Right.
And I've gotten a couple guests, and they just come in and go, well, I came in, I was done, I did whatever you said. It's like,
right.
You know.
Well, but that is, that can be true because they failed so
then
many
times.
Then
it's fucking boring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's fucking boring.
Yeah.
And if you tell me you have no struggle with finding God and you're okay, well, boom, story's gone. You tell me you like to be told what to do.
Right.
You like to follow orders.
Right.
No story. No story.
You might not like my story.
What?
There have been plenty of struggles. I would say almost more being sober than
that's
previously.
What it's. We're not. Yeah. But we don't talk about previous because previous doesn't have a fucking thing to do with it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like we start on day one.
That's great.
And then we move from day one till now.
Yeah.
So tell me now what's happened.
Yeah.
Like what's going? Like the guy got coming this Saturday. Is my buddy Chris is coming? Well, he's coming one of these Saturdays. Whenever this goes, but whatever. So. He's a kid from Huntington Beach that's now a Zen monk. He's like, so hey, how do you get from here to here?
Right.
How do you get from this drunken, cocaine-blowing, fucking Huntington Beach, surf kid, fucked up nut to this Buddhist monk?
Yeah.
How?
Yeah.
You know, let's talk about, you know, and I told him, he goes, do I got to wear a suit and a tie? I go, fuck that. Wear the robes, bitch.
Yeah.
Fucking bring the robes.
Yeah.
You know, bring a gong. I don't give a shit.
Right.
Let's just find out how you got there.
So in terms of you,
Yes.
If you had to summarize how you got from this, you know, thief beating people up like a thug, a kid thug.
Well, but a handsome thug.
Okay. So a movie star thug.
Yeah, that kind of thug.
To the guy who's sober 26 and some yes. change years, who leads a group.
Yeah, but also
who's a hypnotist.
Okay, but there's also a story in Principal Recovery when I got into it with a police officer at 12 years of sobriety.
Right.
When I just decide I'm not stopping.
Yeah.
You know, that was one of those blackout moments. I'm not stopping.
Yeah.
Fuck you. And then I go back because it's the right thing to do to clean it up.
Yeah.
So I go back. So it's a very it's honorable afterwards.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But not that. But you're never going to, I tell people, you're not going to get no Joel Osteen out of me, man.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
You know, it's not going to happen. This is this. This is just what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was that? That was a great little eye roll that I just like, left that little,
no, just that
whatever
friend,
that was.
My
yeah.
friend is daring to call in the yeah. middle of us recording was, you know, speaking well, of not being particularly sober or whatever it is. I had an experience yesterday where I was extremely frustrated with this car loan company, which I talked about on my last podcast because I just recorded it yesterday. Is this still recording? And I was, Jesus, her calling screwed that up. I was abusive emotionally to the woman in Manila that answered the phone
yes.
and that was making no sense. And then I had a moment of, oh God, I'm not going to be able to make amends to this woman. I better do it right now. I'm so sorry. This is not your fault. I'm taking it out. Oh, she was so nice. Because now they all get customer satisfaction surveys at
right.
the end. So they'll
right.
just, you know. And then something else happens and I have to call back. And I'm a complete horrible person, just stop myself from saying the C word, to the next guy who answers the phone. And I don't make amends. And I'm like, how? I just had the spiritual experience of remembering I had to sort of clean up my behavior. And now I just did it to a different guy at the same company. Yeah.
I've done that. I've had to call back. And I've gotten a hold of people and left messages with supervisors and,
right?
you know, that's passed
wow.
it on and got calls back from them.
Really? Where you yeah. just said, I'm really sorry for
yeah.
how I just
I'm out of control.
You. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't deserve it. It's like, and that's this, see, this is what I don't like. You want to go back to earnestness. What I like is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that sometimes you go down to the beach and it's 1 foot and choppy and it's fucking cold and it's rainy and it's not pretty
mm-hmm.
and it's not going to go on a brochure.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day you go down there and it's sunny and it's nice and this and it's all different. And
mm-hmm.
it's the same with us. It's like, I don't mm-hmm. buy it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't buy this total clean fucking
yeah.
always. You're lying.
Yeah.
You're fucking lying. It's
yeah.
like the one thing I have done by hunting people down and asking questions, I've realized that people that talk about peace aren't peaceful.
Yeah.
They're not peaceful people because if they were peaceful people, it would never be talked about.
Yeah.
It would never be sought
yeah.
after.
Yeah.
It's like, look, guy, I get it. I understand why you want peace.
Yeah.
I understand why you search for God because you're fucking uncomfortable. That's why you search. When you're comfortable, you don't search.
Right.
When you're peaceful,
you don't seek peace.
You don't seek peace. So it's like,
yeah.
so just, and why are you afraid to tell me that?
I know.
And that's the other thing. It's like, see, and this is what fucks me up too, because I'm not afraid to tell you that. I don't give a fuck.
Right.
I'm going to tell you because I've been taught that that's what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
What I'm supposed to do is give you good, bad, indifferent, whatever, give it to you. But the trouble is that doesn't make me money. That doesn't make me money. That's not, I watched it.
Yeah.
I was watching videos. I was watching these guys that do these videos and they're in an idyllic setting
yep.
and they're nice and they're clean and they're sitting there and the fountain's going and the blah, blah, blah. And they're laying out this shit.
Yep.
You know, I can lay out shit like that, but it's not real.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah. I mean, do you want to make money? You want to make more money?
I want to make enough money to disappear.
Okay.
It's like, it's almost like it's keeping me, somebody's keeping me from disappearing. Not that I don't want to sound like a conspiracist or something like that, but it's almost like someone's forcing me to stay here and deal with people.
Well, you know, the God that you don't know exists and I don't know exists, you know, in that sort of idea, this sort of, you know, idea that you hear in rooms about how, you know, sort of rejection is God's protection and, you know, everything.
I love that shit.
But everything, that one, that's a platitude that I can get behind. When I'm rejected, it is a great comfort. Sometimes.
Yeah, if you want to use that as that, you go ahead.
And the number of things that I have not gotten, you know, people or jobs or whatever it is,
but,
and that I look back upon and go, thank God.
Well, I'll tell you what's interesting about this. If we can talk about Christian mythology.
Sure.
Sometimes I say that and people get mad at me. They go, it's not a myth.
I just got a little bored when you said it, but go on.
Yeah. Okay. So we look at the first sin. Mm-hmm. The first sin was a sin of will. Mm-hmm. If we're looking at Christian mythology, mm-hmm. this is interesting, though, if you think about this. Mm-hmm. The first sin was a sin of will. Mm-hmm. God said, do not eat of this fruit. They said, fuck you, we're in. Mm-hmm. That's it. Hey, we're in. But then what's the fruit? Like we talk about in our program or whatever, mm-hmm. we step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate, blah, blah, blah. So what was the fruit of that sin? Was the supposed knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
Okay. So what do we have now? Now, mythology, whatever it is, but when you look at us now, when a situation comes up, we'll say, this is good or this is bad.
Yeah.
This is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. This is the best because we have the supposed knowledge
right.
of what is right and what is good and what is evil, whatever, when in reality, we don't have enough information right. to even make that call.
Right. Right.
So that's why later on we'll say, oh, this rejection was protection in this situation, whatever it is. Then we can look back and see that.
Yeah.
But it's like the reality is I don't know.
Right. Right. So
I don't know.
So it's better to just not use words like good and bad.
Observe. No? Yeah. Watch. See what happens.
Yeah.
You know, where's this going? I always tell my kids, I go, hey, let's just see where this goes.
Yeah.
Come on. We're on a thriller.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, it's like, hey, let's just go on a thriller and let's just go with it. Whatever happens, do it. Mm-hmm. And let's see where it goes. Because mm-hmm. I've gotten some whacked out situations before where it's like, how the fuck did I get here?
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, let's just go.
Yeah.
Let's just see whatever it is, whatever's asked of us or suggested, let's do.
Yeah.
And then let's see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, a sort of tangent of that, I think a version of that is sort of, I will notice, I will work very hard towards something happening, a very specific thing. Let's say, I don't know, like a book idea.
Right.
And a proposal and all of this stuff. And that doesn't happen. But I am, every time I put that kind of crazy effort forward, something happens. It's just sort of not what I...
There's something, some reaction to the action.
Some good thing, if, you know...
Or not.
Yeah, oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to use that word.
Yeah,
something,
but who knows? But when you,
good.
Yeah, when you make an action, then whatever happens, happens. It's not like we take action and zero happens. There's something.
Something always happens.
Something.
So the action that you took of letting me trample on your schedule, can we not be a little alcoholic about me just... gently moving us 2 days.
Well,
it's hardly a trample.
Well, it depends on what the schedule looks like.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I don't mind. I'm totally
guilty.
Over it.
I feel guilty. So
yeah, that's all right. I had a Jewish friend tell me that I was the only Christian he could stand. So that's good. And I'm not even a Christian. Okay. But whatever. It's you know, whatever it is. Anyway, but yes, please.
So, what was I saying?
You switched in. All of a sudden, you just flowed right into trampling on my schedule. And you
I know,
were
I
saying it was alcoholic that
guilt.
I said that.
Yeah.
Actually, I think it paints a pretty picture. You trampled on
my
schedule.
Yeah, no, it's a great word. It's a fantastic word.
My daughter asked me one time, she reads my text. She goes, is that what people like you do?
Text?
You and your little writer buddies send these texts like that.
What are you,
or just
like
whatever.
That?
Just that kind of like you trampled on my schedule, my calendar. You trampled on my calendar.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, normal people don't say that.
No.
You know, so, and that's what my kids said. Is that what you guys do? You mm-hmm. just write shit like that and send witty little smart ass things to each other. And I looked at her and then I thought of somebody that sends me stuff like that constantly. Because they don't write, but they write.
Mm-hmm,
so they, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I just started writing them back, LOL, POS, just fucking.
I don't even know what POS means.
Parent over shoulder.
You know, oh my God,
whatever the fuck it is, just like fucked
stupid,
up, you know?
Annoying.
Yeah, just stupid, just nothing worthwhile whatsoever.
When I was... single, what I would talk to many.
Single? How could you possibly be single when you're the authority on dating?
That's my point.
Yeah, and that's the question, too, that I have a question, too.
Yeah.
So I wondered that. I'm glad that you actually mentioned this, because I asked my friend, I said, well, I don't know. She seems like she might be single, but I can't be sure, and I'm not sure if she's straight or not.
What?
I'm not sure. I couldn't tell. I'm thinking, I don't know if she's straight or not.
What is that supposed to mean? I'm just saying. I'm just saying I'm the straightest woman alive.
Well, whatever. That in itself is a statement for question, but it's
it happens to be true.
But I thought, well, why is it?
in deep denial.
Why isn't she married?
Yeah.
If she's the authority on dating, or maybe it's somebody that just wants to date and they're going to date until they go out. Like out meaning oh, out dead. Of out of
oh god no
out of gone.
The entire time I was giving that advice, I did not want to be single,
right?
At all. I'm in my first like real relationship in so long, and part of the shame I felt about doing that was that I was single and I couldn't seem to find anybody I liked.
Your face changed even now.
Really?
Your face changed. Your eyes changed when you said that. The whole
shame.
Look on you.
Yeah.
The whole look. Your whole face changed. So you say earlier on that I can't read that your face is changing. It's like it just changed right then.
You said when you read my face before that you were just fucking with me. So now,
well, whatever.
Yeah. But
okay, anyway.
But so, yeah. And
see, my kids won't look me in the eyes.
They won't?
No, when I'm questioning them, they won't look me in the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm highly conscious of when I won't look people in the eyes. Like in my therapist, sometimes I'll notice I can't look at her and I'm like, what are you doing?
Right. Yeah.
But
I make them.
You say, look me in the eyes.
Yeah, because I know questions, so I can tell whether they're telling me the truth or not, depending on the eye movements.
Right. But sometimes people don't look you in the eye, not because they're lying, but because for some other reason.
Yeah, whatever. But
we're not talking, I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm enjoying every second that we're talking about me, but we're not talking enough, we're talking too much about me.
Oh, yeah,
are
let's talk more about me. Yeah,
though?
You want to pause and think about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
But no, yes. I do want to, because we don't have a ton of time left.
Okay.
And I don't want to neglect the alleged topic of...
Which is
like...
I don't have a publicist pushing me.
Addiction
so there's not
and
a
recovery.
Real, oh, that's what
I've
we're
got,
talking
oh,
about.
Oh, I've got an agenda always. A little bit, yeah.
I did have a question about one of your guests that did disturb me a little bit.
Oh, wait. So, okay, but you didn't listen.
Well, I read something.
Okay, yeah.
It was just something where one of your guests said about time not mattering.
Oh, I don't know who said that.
Yeah, not true. Whether or not my judgment of what I think someone should be along whatever path mm-hmm. they're supposedly on, it's like, look, I don't have any idea what that man's been through, what that woman's been through, what they've dealt with, what they've done, what's going on. No fucking idea whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, but I know that after a certain period of time going through stuff for a length of time, it matters.
I'm totally with you. But by the way, I'm not responsible for what anybody says.
Well, whatever. And you're the one that edits it. So
oh,
I mean, you
think
can push
I edit
that
this?
Off on somebody,
that's
whatever.
That's amazing that you think this gets edited, huh?
Oh.
No. But I have a website where people are writing stuff all the time that I don't agree with.
Okay. Do you want to talk about being what?
What?
What do you want to talk about?
Well, no. Oh, I was defending myself a little bit, which is just to
I'm
say that
attacking. I'm not attacking.
No. I know. Defending was overstating the word. I'm explaining my philosophy about this, which is...
That's a polite way to say it. I'm explaining my philosophy to you.
I don't feel defensive. I misuse a word, but...
I don't think we ever misuse words.
Oh, I do.
Okay.
I do.
We can move on.
But words are very, I'm with you. Words are the most important thing in the world to me. I tend to not notice what things look like because I'm
right. And subconsciously you're throwing out words without realizing it. That's why people try to talk to me sometimes and they ask me this question. It's like, you're not going to get a good answer from me
because of the way,
because
they ask the question.
Mostly if I go give a talk or whatever, it's completely subconscious. I have no idea what's even going on. One time I stopped and I looked over at the, oh, did you just get frustrated at me? Go, please.
No,
finish
no,
your
no,
statement.
Not at all. I
well, you just sighed. So when you play this back, you're going to hear yourself go.
I think I do things that I'm not conscious of. My boyfriend recently accused me of rolling my eyes, and I had no idea I was doing it.
You've rolled them once or twice today.
God, I wish I could control this stuff.
That's not going to happen.
But
one time I looked over at the sign language, the interpreter.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
to try to figure out what the fuck I just said. So.
Oh, that's amazing.
But anyway.
Oh God, it's such a good conversation that my mind is going into 16
sobriety,
dimensions.
Book stuff.
No. So
no, of course not. Let's not talk about anything that could help you.
Yeah, no.
Yes, go on.
But no. Getting sober, challenging, or were you just done? What were the greatest challenges of getting sober?
No, staying, being alive, feeling it.
Yeah.
This is what's the trick. See, a lot of people, they want to talk amounts. They want to go this. Hey, let's put the amounts aside. Okay, great. I understand there's a physical addiction, right? So let's move past the physical addiction. Let's talk about emotionally. Now that we're at this point now, okay, now you got nothing in you. How How's it going for you?
I know.
How is that doing? Yeah. How is rush hour traffic rolling? Yeah. How does the 12 checkout line when the lady in front of you has got 16 fucking items?
Right.
How are you doing?
Right.
How are the kids going? What's happening? Right. Like a lot of times, especially when you look at any steps, and this is the trouble about why the 12 steps don't work. They don't work. They don't work. If we're talking about just straight getting sober, they don't work. It's got nothing to do with it. It's about connection to a power so you don't go back. That's the issue. This isn't about getting sober. The steps didn't get anybody sober. It's hey, okay, now you are sober. Now do you want to connect with some power, have some awareness, have whatever? This is what this is for. And I deal with people and sometimes they'll stop getting loaded and they're fine. And yeah. If they're fine, I can't work any steps with them.
Right.
Because there's no need.
Right.
There's no need. If the world is loving to them, then there's no need to reach outside.
Well, it's until I would argue that...
I mean, bet you would.
No, but yes. That the most important step for me, sure, three crucial. Yeah, but I sort of had
why?
That. My experience is that I tried and tried and tried to stop.
But it's a decision. All three is it's decision making. Yeah. It's, hey, I'm going to do this. So it's not crucial unless you follow it up.
Yeah, absolutely. But right. You can't follow it up if you haven't made the decision.
Well, some people jump into this work without even making a decision.
Yeah.
Some people have an awakening before they've even walked into the program.
Yeah.
They've basically done and they've woken up
yeah.
and said, hey, I can't live like this anymore.
Yeah.
And they launch in.
Yeah.
You know.
That was me. The steps where we are, I'm like trying not to be specific about the numbers for no apparent reason, when we're sort of taking inventory of our resentments, that I was just the angriest, most resentful person. So the epiphany that I was responsible for those 99.9% of those resentments changed my life and continues to.
Yeah, but some people never have that.
I know.
They never wake up and see it.
Or they don't have as many resentments as
I. Yeah, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to establish an awakening.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing. That's why if you look at that book, whatever, the biggest book there, if you look at it, they say, get it out, get it out, get it out. Go on, write down. Oh, yeah, fuck them. Yeah, yeah. Fuck her too. Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Miss Brown, bitch, fucking whatever. Right. And then it says, now go back.
Yeah.
And see where you were at fault.
Yeah.
So what they're trying to do is get you to wake up.
Yeah.
And this is something in a principle of recovery book I talked about. You can get one guy, throw him in jail. He comes to in the morning, sees himself in jail, thinks about his wife, kids, whatever, and says, oh my God, look at what the fuck I've done.
Yeah.
You get somebody else, comes to in the morning, sees where they are, and they go, these cops are pricks.
Right.
Because they can't see their own fault.
Right.
They can't see it. So whether or not somebody's willing to see themselves, to wake up, if they're even capable of seeing themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and this is why you can't force someone to do the steps. You can't force someone to do this work. You none of this.
But what's a sponsor? If the person's not doing the steps, what are you doing?
What is it? A friend. The book says it's a friend.
The book doesn't have the word sponsor.
That's right. That's right. But they say you might have made a friend.
Uh-huh.
Your guy may not even want to do this work.
Yeah.
But it's so much fear-based now. Everything's fear-based, fear and control-based. It's like that's what we have come to. We have done this where the 12 steps has become fear and control based.
Not to me.
Well.
Yeah. I mean, that's not my experience.
Well, I mean, we could argue. I mean, I don't want you to get upset with me, but
I know you could upset me. Well, I mean, you probably could.
Okay. What position are you in when you sponsor someone and you have a sponsee? That sounds like property to me. Ownership of property.
Not
a sponsee. What is a sponsee? Someone beneath you is a sponsor.
Yeah.
A hierarchy. I mean, this is what we're talking about. There's all government is, you know, whatever. We don't need to get into all this. But what I'm saying is it's we walk shoulder to shoulder, side by side, you know, whatever.
That just reminds me, I do want to quickly touch on the fact that you ran for office.
Well, yeah, but it was just about healthcare.
Oh, really?
So you're done with that conversation. Let's move on to another.
No,
it was
so
about healthcare at the time.
You, yes.
Well, at the time, no one was talking about healthcare.
Yeah.
Let alone in California. In California alone. Let alone countrywide. Now, healthcare is a huge issue.
It's that topic.
But at the time, it wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, we're still America number one. You know, it's like no, we're not.
Yeah.
You know, and so basically. I wouldn't talk about punk rock. I wouldn't talk about music. I said, I won't discuss these things. I'm not going to do it. It doesn't have anything to do with what I'm doing. I'm here to talk about healthcare in California.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they expected the punk rock candidate to show up in leather and a mohawk, and I showed up in a nice suit.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm supposed to be a total bastard, and the only people working on my campaign were women.
Right.
It was all women. I only work with women.
Oh,
it's
really?
Like, yeah, my publisher's, my last publisher's a woman, my business advisor's a woman, my manager's a woman, my booking agent's a woman, my lawyer's a woman.
You They're had that all agent
the,
that we
the
talked
director
about.
I just worked with was a woman. Yeah, that's the only man really. I mainly work with women.
Yeah.
Surrounded by high powered, strong women.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. So do you think just being ahead of your time, if you were running now with the healthcare?
Well, now it's nothing. Now, I mean, look, in reality, come on, I'm not going to win janitor in somebody's office. It's like
so
I'm
unstable. Raise awareness.
Unstable, whatever the fuck it is. It's like you're not going to, you know, I slap me in a suit and I look like a candidate, but it's not going to happen.
Well, nobody, you know? It's like the idea of Trump leading in the polls is absolutely ludicrous and it's happening.
Yeah, whatever. That's frightening.
Yeah.
I try not to even think about it. The whole thing is frightening. Yeah. I just don't see some. This is another example of people not being awake.
I know.
It's like, are you kidding me, man? Do you understand what we're talking about? And even, and of course, the fantasy of what the president of the United States is even supposed to look like. It's all based on this fantasy, but based on the fantasy that I was given since a child, this is impossible that this would even take place.
Yeah.
You know, but once again, it was all fantasy.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
What, okay, well, we have to wrap up.
Yes, please.
Okay, so two important questions. Is there anything, any message you want to depart with for the listeners? People, and there are people who are struggling to get sober, who are sober, sometimes just people interested.
Yeah, well, I wrote a book called The Principle of Recovery. So if we're going to talk about that, somebody would get mad at me and go, why didn't you even mention the book? I mean, I wrote a book called The Principle of Recovery, which is basically my journey through the 12 steps, 26 years of being clean. Hey, here's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the one thing in a lot of the literature, they talk about making amends, but they don't give examples. And I've listed basic, I've said, hey, here's how I handled an amends to the dead. Here's how I handled this amends. This is what going through a third step looks like. Here's what a fourth step would look like. So, and what I did. So I basically show them, mm-hmm. hey, this is what I did. Deal with the God topic, the people that struggle with that, the sexism, cut that out, mm-hmm. all that crap.
Mm-hmm.
And just said, basically, hey, here's, let me just give you an unvarnished look mm-hmm. at what I believe this
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
And so far it's been helpful. I mean, I get guys, like they'll buy one and then they'll come back and buy 20. You know, and they'll say, like, recovery houses will call me and say, hey, can you send us a case? Can you, you know.
That's, and then the weekly talks, I'm imagining those people.
I'm not allowed to talk about it. You can't go in a meeting and say, oh, I just wrote a book.
How I've wanted to advertise Party Girl, my first book.
You can't talk about it. And it's so funny because it's a book that would probably, I mean, whatever, I don't want to sound like that, but I'm saying, according to what I've heard from people, it's a book that would probably benefit a lot of people in those rooms.
Absolutely.
And you're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I don't say anything about it.
And then there's also American Demon, and then apparently there's four others.
Yeah, there's a couple of short stories, and then there was a children's book that I'd been working on, and just there was a little illustrated book, and I just finished a movie, a short film.
What's it called?
Code Blue. Andy Dixon, he's great, man. He's funny.
Yeah,
he plays a high school teacher.
I love
In the movie, it's good.
I want him on the podcast. I don't know him.
I will gladly...
Do
Am
it.
I allowed to say that? I can pass it. Whatever. Really fun. I really enjoyed him. Really fun.
And anything about music you care to leave
people
with?
I'm getting ready to do another TSOL record. I'm getting ready to do that. I'm going on tour. I'll be on tour a couple weeks from now. I'm going to do the West Coast, and then I'm going to go do Europe again in the summer.
Where can people, just at your website, where is the best place for people to get all of this?
Well, I don't know. I have like www.jackgrisham.com, but it doesn't,
So I mean, your book's on Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon. It does well. It's got great reviews. Gets great reviews.
Yeah.
Nobody complains. They don't get good reviews.
Right.
My favorite review still, though, about The American Demon, my favorite was, it said... a very mean-spirited book by a great writer.
I think I read that. I looked at your Amazon reviews.
I love that. God, that's a wonderful review.
Yeah.
That's my favorite.
Dream review.
Yes.
Yeah, I get all kinds of bad ones myself. But the worst, far worse than a negative review is no review.
That's right. That's right. And I'll tell you this, the funny, like I had written this record a long time ago and it was called If Anger Were Soul, I'd Be James Brown. And it was like right after I first got sober, and I know it's kind of cutesy, but it was about getting clean.
Yeah.
You know, so it was heavy, like the topics were heavy. So I got great reviews. Now they might not have liked the music, but lyrically I was getting great reviews. Yeah. Right. So I got all these magazines in Europe, this one magazine saying, hey, America doesn't appreciate this guy. They never have. We need to start a relocation fund. It's like, here's some French magazine. Anyway,
you
whatever, whatever it was. Yeah, they wanted to relocate me. And so all these great reviews. And then this kid with a little fanzine that he made on a Xerox machine and some thrifties somewhere, you know, he wrote, his review of the record was, if it was called If Anger Were Soul, I'd Be James Brown. His review was, if shit were money, Jack would be rich. And I just thought, he's the only one that knows the truth. It just fucked me up. Anyway.
Okay, yes. Question number two that we're going to end on. Did you have fun? Since that's what you want to do is have fun. Did you have fun just now? I don't care about sobriety. Like, did you have fun doing this? Oh my God, that was such a hesitant yes.
What? Well, no, it just makes, I just think about it. I'm trying. Okay, to not think about it, yes, I enjoy myself. But am I having fun? I'm not exactly sure.
No, right now, doing this interview?
Right now, yeah, this has been very interesting. Yeah, later, very interesting.
Later, you're going to see how much fun you had.
Yeah, I'm sure that I had fun. And I'm saying I'm going to get you, and you're going to come down and do my thing one time.
All you had to say was 250 people, and I would never have hesitated about the traffic. Please. Yes. And Saturday morning traffic. Oh, yeah, yes. I'm in. Thank you. This
you're
has
very
been
welcome.
Fantastic. I love it. That was Jack Grisham from TSOL, The Manic Low, a bunch of other bands. And go get his book, American Demon. And what else? Keep listening to the podcast and keep downloading and subscribing and reviewing. And I will see you soon. Bye.